Morning. Everybody's excited to be here. You've been in the Word all week. You've prepared for this time. Been in prayer, seeking the Lord, even as it was read in Isaiah 55. Glad you're here. If you're new here, welcome. I see some new faces. If you're new at home, welcome. There's a whole other church that's not here. They're at home. Praise the Lord for them. All right? There's some people that are not feeling well and out, not here today. So we have a great God, don't we? And a great body of believers. So with that, let me go ahead and pray. Father, I'm grateful, Father, for you. I'm grateful, Father, for your word. I am grateful that we can come and, Lord, into the Psalms again, and Father, so we can see how great you are. Seems that the Psalms declare the greatness of you, and it has some demands for your people. And so, Father, today as we start Psalm 105, Father, I pray that you'd speak to us through it. Lord, help us to see how great and awesome you are. Lord, some things we continually read in the scriptures, we see those things that declare your greatness, but sometimes we forget them, Lord God. We don't personalize them like we should. So, Father, maybe today, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that your spirit would move on this congregation in a mighty way, Father, that we might sing praises to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, let's go to Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all the wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. So we can look at this psalm here. Now, we're just going to be in the first six verses today. Goes on and talks about all that God has done from Abraham all the way, kind of does a brief synopsis of the history of Israel. We'll get to that next week. But this is written to, if you look at verse 6, to the seed of Abraham. It's written to Israel, Jacob. Now, we can glean from this for sure, but understand in the text, that's who it's written to. This is sometimes called a hallelujah psalm, in that it starts with praise in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name, and it goes on. And it ends in verse 45 with what? Praise the Lord. So it's called a hallelujah psalm. Praise the Lord, by the way, is hallelujah to Yah in Hebrew. So when we see praise the Lord, it's hallelujah to Yahweh, or Yah for short, in Hebrew. It's a song of praise to God for his dealings with his people, traced, as I said, historically from the time of the covenant that God made with Abraham to the occupation of the land of Canaan. The first six verses, which we are in today, are an exhortation to praise and to give thanks to the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Give praise to Yahweh, our God. Now, there's nine exhortations given to Israel in these first six verses. You'll see them. Give thanks, call upon his name, make known his deeds, sing to him, talk about his works, glory in his holy name, seek him, and remember his marvelous works. In Jewish history, God alone was supposed to be their object of worship. Nothing else. No idol, no person, only God is to be exalted. He's the only one to be praised. And so God's reminding them of that in this psalm. You see, gratitude for his mercy was demanded in verse 1. The celebration of his works, both publicly and with great, is to be done with great enthusiasm. And that was demanded in verse 2. Delight in him was demanded. How many delight in God this morning? To the Jewish person, that was a command. It was demanded by God. Pursuit, or the seeking of him, was demanded in verse 4. These aren't suggestions. These are commands. They're demands God wants from his people. The remembrance of him was demanded in verse 5. Remembrance in his wonderful works that he's done for man. Not just the nation of Israel, but for man. And remembrance of God's wonderful words to man. Not just his works, but his words. So, has anything changed because now we're in 2021? Absolutely not. Nothing's changed, especially in the light of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, which says, I didn't write that down in your bulletin, so here we go. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So there's the idea that we should get together and we should be doing the same things that even Israel was required to do in the worship of our God. It says, give thanks to the Lord. There we are for the first thing. Let's look at that. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, again proclaiming that that's an obligation for us to praise him with a thankful heart. I'm so grateful for him this morning. And I can't ask this because we're, being posted on YouTube, so they wouldn't hear your comment. I can imagine if you would just say, right now, Lord, I thank you for this, what would you put there? See, we see throughout the scripture, God has intended for you and I to be thankful. That's his plan. How'd you spend your week? If I ask that question, how'd you spend your week? With a thankful heart? A bitter heart? A discontented heart? An unhappy heart? It's good, folks, to give thanks to God. It's good to give thanks to the Lord because there's much to be thankful for. Life, health, death of a believer, food, freedom, clothing, breath. How many of you are breathing? Thank God for that this morning. Housing, provision. But more importantly, when you look at the spiritual side of things, his calling. Are you grateful that he called you into salvation? I think of where I would be if I didn't know him in this time that we're in. What a scary place to be in this world, not knowing him, not belonging to him. But I can thank him for repentance. That's a gift from him. That he would allow you and I to repent for redemption, that he would even think about redeeming us for salvation. Deliverance, meaning salvation. He delivered me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Justification, pronounced me innocent of all crime against him. Sanctification. You grateful for that? That God took you out of this world, this wicked world, and set you apart for him? So much we can be thankful for the hope of heaven. You hoping for heaven? You thinking about it more often today than you did last week? I find myself thinking about heaven. The glory of it. I'm so excited we're in the Psalms because it's brought us back to because you can have the news on all week. We get to come here and we get to go through these Psalms and we get to magnify the name of God again. We get to thank him again. I want this the whole journey however far we go in Psalms before we pick another book, I want his name to be magnified in you. I want you to come out of it how great God is. Because when you focus on him, the rest of the stuff that's going on doesn't matter. What about assurance of salvation? Are you thankful for that? I know without a doubt where I'm going. Without one doubt. Why? And that happens because he's allowed us to know him. And so certainly thankfulness should identify the life of every Christian. We ought to be more thankful than anybody on this planet because he's given us great blessings in Christ. I want you to just look at some verses here that I bring up. Speaking of giving thanks to God, look at Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Now you say, well, there it is again. Doesn't God get tired of saying that? Why do you think he tells us this all the time? So we'll do it. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? Has he been good to you? Oh, not just good, abundantly good. And his mercy endures forever. If you want to think of how good God has been, do a study on mercy. Psalm 107. Verses 21 to 22. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. It's like, shouldn't men just do that? Men and women implied there. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 136, verse 1. The psalmist here says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. There's again, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to God, to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. You want to study mercy? Look at that psalm. It's over and over and over again. Let's go into the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 20, Ephesians 5:20. Let me start in 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on about submission. You get the idea that he wants us to be thankful? And we need to be thankful for what the Father's done for us. As a matter of fact, you do a reading in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And just look at what he tells us. Well, let's go there. Let's go there. Colossians chapter 1. I'll start in verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Look at that verse. Giving thanks. Why? Because he has qualified you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Because he's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, or the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption. When do we have that? We have it now. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And it goes on. See, I think giving thanks to God is a compliment to our prayers. Matter of fact, Colossians, since you're there, look at chapter 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with what? Thanksgiving. One thing we learn as Christians is ingratitude displeases God. One of the things that brings about the judgment on this, whether it's a nation, the world, is unthankfulness. Romans chapter 1. It's among the sins that define really the perilous times that we're in. If you go up to 2 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, what does he say to him? It's a sign of the end times. Well, now, if they were writing this if Paul was writing this to Timothy back then, how much more true is it today? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses starting in verse 1, 2 Timothy 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Okay, perilous times meaning times of stress. Would you say we're in times of stress? Or difficult times, your Bible might say. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud. This is a description of man in the last days. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, there it is. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. They look like believers, but they're not believers. They say the right things, but they're far from being saved. They have a form of godliness, but have no power in them. And from such people, turn away. So being thankful is something that I know that we all struggle with, being thankful sometimes, from time to time, yet it's something that God wants from his saints. And we see that in the psalm we're in. We can pick that up in Psalm 116. Here's a verse here in Psalm 116 and verse 2, or verse 17, that says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. So thanksgiving is a sacrifice to be made to him. And so you see that in the scriptures. Psalm 105, still in verse 1. Like these introductions, do you? All right. Call upon his name. Oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Here's a command to call upon the very name of God. With all its power, with all his glory, his name is his name that really declares his might. Now, several months ago, we kind of went through the names of God, if you remember that. But without going to those passages, and I have those passages, you can get them from me later. I just want to remind you of those names. Elohim, which means the mighty, strong, and dreadful, and prominent God. Jehovah, to be self-existent, to be the permanent one in existence. You get El Shaddai, which means the mighty, powerful God who nourishes, supplies, and satisfies you. Come to the name for God, which is Adonai, which means ownership or master of his creation. You see the word name Jehovah Jireh, which is to see. Jireh means to see beforehand, to be all-knowing. So which makes him the God who provides also. He knows what you need before you need it. You come to Jehovah Raphi, and then there's Jehovah Raphika. Raphi means he is the Lord who heals. Raphika, he's God, our healer, who restores, who heals, who cures, not only in a physical sense, but in a moral and spiritual sense, he does that. He is Jehovah Nissi, which means God's our banner. He's the one that goes out before us. He fights our battles for us. And in that means to glisten. He's bright and shining before us. He's that ensign or that standard, a signal to God's people to rally unto him. He is our Jehovah En Kadesh. It means Jehovah who sanctifies you. He's the God who has set us apart from the world, separated us from all the wickedness so that we would be His people. He is Jehovah Shalom, which of course means Jehovah is peace. And it is through Christ that God's children can know and experience peace with God. There's no other way to get peace. He is Jehovah Tzidkenu, which means Jehovah our righteousness. He is Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah my shepherd, which the primary meaning of the word ro there is to feed, to lead to pasture, to shepherd his flock. So he's the shepherd who feeds us. He's the shepherd who protects us. He's the shepherd who leads us. Jehovah Shammah means Jehovah is there, always there, ever present. Wherever I go, he's there. Now, that's just some of his names. And it says here, call upon his name. His name covers every need we would ever want. Now, notice that responsibility here in the passage. While we're giving thanks to the Lord, we're to call on his name. And we ought to make, after I call on his name, what's the next part? Make known his deeds among the peoples. See, again, these are, I want you to do this. I want you to give thanks to me, and I want you to call on my name. And then, after you've seen who I am, I want you to make known what? My deeds to the peoples. Look at Psalm 145. Go here to Psalm 145. That's not in your bulletin. Psalm 145. So you can add that in or whatever. Look at verse 10. Let's go 10 to 13 here. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Now think about this last week. Think of how many times we may have missed, or maybe we should do this even more than we do, to talk of the glory of his kingdom and talk of his power. We're supposed to talk of his power. How mighty is your God? Well, who are you telling that to? To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. What did he do this week that you couldn't wait to tell people about? Certainly we can say he saved us. That's a great thing. But folks, we're way past the day we got saved. What's he doing greatly today? So many Christians are living on the day of their conversion. I will bless your name forever and ever. Well, look at here. It says, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Look at Psalm 13, verse 6. Go back here to some of these psalms here that we've been through it way a long time ago. Psalm 13, verse 6. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Now, we're supposed to sing of the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Why? Because he's done some great things for me, for you. Not limited, but bountifully. Folks, don't miss that. He is piling blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing on you every day. Do you recognize that? Psalm 18, verse 49. Look at this. This is good stuff. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. That amongst the Gentiles, to the wicked, to those who don't know God. What's the world see from, what do they hear from our lips about God? Psalm 57, verse 9. What do we see here? I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens and your truth unto the clouds. Certainly we can sing. Certainly we can make known his mercy. Certainly we can make known his truth. Now, why should we make known his deeds among the peoples? So the answer is so others can know him. And when others know him, then they too can give thanks to him and speak of his deeds to others. I want somebody to hear how great my God is from my lips so that they can learn who he is, they can know who he is, and they can turn around and say, I got to know this God and he's this great. And it goes on and on and on. This week, if I didn't get to you, I apologize. I went around and I asked people, this simple verse that we're in says, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. And I asked some people, and I won't say names because I don't want to put your names out online, but I asked this question. If you could declare to the peoples one deed he's done for you, in you, for you, and you was necessary to tell people about the mighty deeds of God, what would you say? Well, one person said, if I could tell anybody of the deeds that he's done, is that things work out in my life because he's taken care of me. That's somebody in this church that said that. In every aspect, he's taken care of me. Somebody else said, he's picked or he's pulled me out of the pit of sin. And he saved my life from things like a car wreck, which I look back on and that's amazing. This other says, he opened my eyes and changed my direction in life. I was going right into hell. And he grabbed me from hell, and here I am. Does this relate to any of you? This brother said he changed my path in that the way I think. If I could tell anybody how great my God is, it's that he's changed the way I think. And the challenge was, stay away from salvation. Or that he's forgiven my sin. Because that's the generic answer. Well, he saved me. Well, we know that. But I wanted to get these something deep. This one said, I have felt his presence in the time of loss, so I know he's real. Another one said, he's moved me from a generic church faith to an actual faith of knowing him with confidence. In other words, what you see in some of Christianity today is how do you explain it? I don't even know how to explain it. It's just, he's taken you, this person, beyond what you see the average Christian today in growth. This is a young person, a couple young persons here. These two are from our ambassador group. I asked them. One of them said, I said, express a deed that God's done that you want to tell people about. He says, I finally have an application to the faith I grew up with. That's incredible. This one said, he has given me courage to act on the faith I was brought up with. The transformation that he's done in my life and is doing daily is incredible. Those are 17-year-old kids. This one said, he He found me. By his grace, he found me. When the whole world said no and everything was against this person, he reached out and said, "You're mine." This one said that he forgives all the mistakes I've ever made. If I could tell God about anything, we know he forgives sins, but he even fixes the mistakes. This sister said, "He answers all my prayers." That's pretty neat. This one said, "He reveals himself to me in his word." And one final one, and we could, you know, you could, I would encourage you to ask each other that. It causes you to exhort the brethren, causes you to grow. Ask this question of somebody in this body this week: could you tell me some great deed God has done that you would like to tell me about? Last one says, "He has revealed his grace to me. His grace covers everything." So I wanted to share those with you today because that's what we're supposed to do. Now, maybe you have a deed God has done in your life that you want people to know. I again, encourage you to tell people. That's not all. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. And we're supposed to sing to him. We look at Psalm 47 in verses 6 and 7. Psalm 47, verses 6 and 7. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with, look at this, understanding. Huh? I better know why I'm praising him. Even the thing, words that come out of my mouth should be, I understand what I'm saying. So many times, I've said before, we sing songs without thinking about the words. We should sing with understanding. It should be intentional, directed thoughts. This is why I'm praising him. First of all, he's King. Boy, we are in a time, folks, where we can be depressed. You can be defeated, or you can sing praises to the King who's in charge. I don't care what happens. In Washington, D.C., there's one King. And sing praises to him. Because it's, listen, world's going that way, we're going that way. Right? It's going to the toilet, and I'm going to glory. My King is not the administration, Congress. My allegiance is not to them. This is as political as I'll get today. Because my eyes want to be on him. This is why I don't preach politics, you guys. You know this. We can talk politics out there. But when I'm here, I want you to see the King. He wants you to sing praises because he's done great things for you. We should also sing to one another, as it says in Ephesians 5:19. We're supposed to do this so we can encourage one another. Ephesians 5, verse 19 says this, speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what we do to exhort one another, to build one another up, to encourage one another. See, those who are full of gratitude towards God can't refrain from singing or speaking of God's goodness. You can't help it. If you're full of gratitude towards God, if you're full of thankfulness towards God, what's left to do except to sing? Now, if you're ungrateful and unthankful, you won't sing. You won't make melody to the Lord in your heart. You won't be in joy. You will be defeated. You won't be excited about God. You'll be beat down. The idea of giving thanks is to encourage your soul. your soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have to remind myself to be thankful. I have to make myself be thankful. I have to make myself think about God so I can be thankful. And once I do that, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let me tell you how great my God is. Thank you, God. Let me tell you how great my God is. Thank you. And it goes on like that. And what happens? I have gratitude in my heart. And I will always tell you, when that happens, I'll start talking about how good God is. How do we sing unto the Lord? With a whole heart, not partial. He has to have all my heart. Go back to Psalm chapter 9. See, even today, sometimes we just give God what's left over, folks. We got to give him what's the best. Psalm chapter 9, I will praise you, O Lord. Very first verse, with my partial heart. With what's left over heart. No, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. With all the love from the deepest part of my bosom. Folks, if you're tied up in the things of the world, you won't get there. You will not get there. If your only connection to things around you is turning on the news and seeing negative, 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 you won't get here. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my with my whole heart. And I will tell, this is just like Psalm 105, I will tell of all your marvelous works, and I will be glad and rejoice in you, and I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Including in this praise, and we see in Psalm 105, is to talk even of his wondrous works. To talk of his wondrous works. What is our conversation like? What do we talk about all day long? What is it in our conversation that bears fruit? Well, the psalmist says, if you go to Psalm 119, and you look at verse 46 in that psalm, let me go back here, Psalm 119, and verse 46, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and I will what? Not be ashamed. Folks, we don't talk a lot about God today in our culture, because, and I hate to say it this way, some of us are ashamed. I'm more worried about what people think. It may cost me my job, so I'm not going to say anything because I need employment. It may cost me my family. It may cost me my friends. Folks, when it comes down to it, there's shame there. And I will not, we should not be ashamed of the gospel. It's the only thing that has the power to save people. And he's the only one that can save. So when I look at this, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, not just people, even the government. Why? And I won't be ashamed. You know, what can man do to me? That's what the word says. Let me tell you, this is how we should approach that. If you or I are in a situation and we have to give testimony, it should be something like this. Let me tell you just how wonderful my God is. You watch how fast the conversation ends. Huh? Just start talking about your God. Now, one of two things, either shut you down or they want to hear it. But let me tell you just how wonderful God is. And if there is ever a time to have this part of our conversation, folks, it's now. It's now. The world we live in is looking for hope. Therefore comes the next part of this psalm this morning. Seek the Lord. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who what? Seek the Lord. Is your heart rejoicing this morning? It should be. If you're seeking God, if you're seeking the Lord, if you're learning from him, you're seeking him out in his word, whether it should be for salvation, first of all, but seeking him to grow, whatever the case may be, there's going to be rejoicing. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. And then listen to this. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Of all the things we can put our time into, all put our time or our resources towards or our energy into, how much is spent in seeking God's face? Seeking him so that we may know him and his word. Oh man, Satan's got us so defeated sometimes. Our flesh and the world we live in has us so defeated because we get so consumed with all the stuff around us and we neglect seeking the face of God. Think about the face. What does he look like, folks? Can you tell me what God looks like? Not that he has a physical face. That's not implied there. It's getting so close to him that I can tell you what he's like. What's he like? And if the Christian can't answer that, there's a problem. And I'll tell you what, we as Christians shouldn't be going, boy, I wish the world understood who Christ was. I wish they knew who he was. Boy, look at those. They don't even know God. Do we? Do we? Hebrews 11:6. It's a great verse, this Hebrews 11:6. The whole book of Hebrews is a great book. How many want to please God? Just a few of you. Okay, well, hey. There's a whole nother message for the rest of you. No, just kidding. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those, it's the last part I want you to see, who diligently what? Seek him. Not half-heartedly seek him, but diligently seek him. So if you were saying, what does it mean to seek God? I think it's answered right there. Who diligently seek him. It's a deep longing for to be closer to God, closer to him than our sins have allowed us to be in the past. Paul would talk about this in Philippians chapter 3. If you go over to Philippians with me, Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14 here, which is amazing that in Sunday school this morning, that's where we were. And again, one of those things, right? You want to know the deeds of God? Here's a simple one. He orchestrates every Sunday day worship, whether that's in song or Sunday school classes. Everything always comes back to the same thing being taught. And as I've told people that do the worship, I've told Sunday school, I don't micromanage those things. I'm not calling up people and saying, look, I'm going to be talking about this. Make sure your lessons and all the songs line up with these words. I don't do that. Because I don't do it on purpose because I want to see that God put it all together. And when I see put it all together, it tells me I'm on the right page. Because he's doing it in other people. It's amazing to watch God do that. How he orchestrates every little detail. And so here we are in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are far, which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now that I press forward, I diligently seek him. I press forward. I want more. I want more. I want to know him more. I want to have this fellowship with him that nobody else seems to want to have. I want it, that's Paul saying. Oh, I want this to be deeper. I want to be, show me who you are. Show me what you're like. I see this in Paul's life. I want you. I will diligently seek you because nothing else matters now. Once I found Jesus Christ, Paul's testimony, nothing in life matters. That doesn't mean we don't have our responsibilities, but nothing compares with having God and knowing him. And so, seeking him diligently with everything you have. Now, there are promises given to those who seek after the Lord. If you look at Psalm 105, verse 3, they're given a heart of rejoicing, as already brought up. Jeremiah 29, verses 12 through 13 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God must want us to realize the depth of which we're seeking him. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. Says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So this is the question then. Are we seeking God or not? Now only you know this. Only God knows this. The question is, am I diligently seeking him? I know I'm already saved. But how much more does he have for me? How much more does he want me to know of him? Am I diligently seeking him? Because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Why is diligence so important? Because the worst insult that can be offered to God is indifference. It's apathy. It's complacency. It's nothing worse than, folks, a lukewarm believer when it comes to God. But how can we avoid that? How can we avoid, I guess, this disrespect to God? We seek him diligently. You'll notice in Psalm 105, verse 5, the call then is to remember his marvelous works which he has done. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth. This was what Abraham's seed, Jacob, Israel, his chosen ones were supposed to remember all the time. It's the same thing the believer needs to do today. I want to encourage each of us to incorporate each of these that we went over this morning, these eight exhortations, to be part of your daily worship. And part of your daily life in Christ, that you would, first of all, be thankful. That you would call on his name. Of course, you do that when you pray. But I want to just encourage you to make known his deeds. Tell your family members how great God is. Tell your neighbors how great God is. And sing to him. You guys all like to sing? Sing to him. He wants to hear you. I think of Joel back there. You ever hear him sing? That young boy is making melody in heaven. He may not even understand the words he's saying. But I'll tell you what God does. Talk about his works. Don't be shy, folks. Be bold and tell the world around you how great your God is. Glory in his holy name. Seek him. And certainly remember how he's been to you. Amen? Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. Such a challenge here for us, Father, to do these things. If you would have a nation do this, certainly you would have a person do this. Father, let us get application from this, Lord, that, and it's all built around giving praise to you. Thankful for these people, those who are here and those who aren't here. Lord, I'm grateful for your love of us. Thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.